Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. So verses 41 to 48, worshiping the Lord through performance of one's occupational duties is true renunciation. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes, O chastiser of the enemy. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness, these are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. Farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas. And for the Shudras, there is labor and service to others. By following his qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now please hear from me how this can be done. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings, and who is all-pervading, a man can obtain perfection through performing his own work. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of fault. The four divisions of society are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmanas work. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the Kshatriyas. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan describes the Brahminical and Kshatriya qualities as follows. Note that for the Brahmins and Kshatriyas, they're only mentioning qualities. They're not saying technically the work, because it's the qualities that create the work. No qualities, no work. Right? But for Vaishyas and Shudras, they say the work, not the qualities. Because you can be a really good businessman and be an absolute total demon. Right? You know, you can be a fabulous artist and no one can stand you when you're not doing what you're doing. But you can't be like that if you're a Brahmin or Kshatriya. So Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan. The Brahminical activities are controlling the internal sense, sama, that means the mind. Controlling the external senses, dhamma. Accepting pains in the body, which are prescribed in scripture, tapa. Cleanliness of two types, internal and external, saucham. Tolerance, kshanti, straightforward dealings, not being crooked, arjavam. understanding the superior and inferior categories of existence from scripture, jnana, realizing the ultimate process defined in scripture, vijnana, having full faith in the truth presented in the scriptures, aastikyam. The truth is this, the Supreme Lord Hari is to be understood by all the Vedas. He alone is the cause of everything. He is to be worshipped by actions prescribed by himself. He is to be satisfied by devotion, and a person should offer everything, including himself, to the Lord. These are the actions of the Brahmins, which arise from his impressions. Even if these types of actions appear occasionally in a Kshatriya or another Varna with an increase of Sattva, these actions are mentioned in relation to the Brahmana because of his predominance of Sattva. So anyone means we see is because these are non-different from the devotional qualities. So that means any devotee will naturally have these or develop these qualities. So that's fine, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's one's occupation. Right? Remember, the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, these are the spiritual situation. So the spiritual situation is how you are connecting yourself to the Lord. You're training, you're engaging it according to the senses, you're engaging it according to detachment, you're engaging it according to indifference. The occupation means what you do, that's how you maintain yourself. Right? There's a distinction here. Like someone may have brahminical qualifications due to devotional service, but he's doing business. Right? So the idea says we're all Brahmins. Yes. All devotees are, because the ashram is actually the most important. Right? Sometimes it's mentioned the element of varna first. Varna only distinguishes which way to situate you in the ashrams. Right? But that's not the prominent element. Your occupation is not the prominent element. It's the ashram that's the prominent, because that's how you'll personally develop. That's where you can attain the perfect element. The varna element never will be completely perfect, because you're dealing with the modes, so you're dealing with fault. It's automatic. They go together, right? But the spiritual, if it's connected to the Lord, is perfect, right? So in this way, then, because of that understanding, then when the occupation, the work is connected to Krishna, that becomes perfect. But it's not that its manifestation is necessarily going to be perfect. Right? So all devotees, as they progress in devotional service, are going to manifest the brahminical qualities. So they're going to be qualified for class, for doing deity worship, for preaching, for any element that we would consider, brahminical, because devotional is the perfection of brahminical, right? But it does not mean that that's going to be someone's occupation. We must make a distinction here. So someone who has the qualification, they do that occupation. They don't have the qualification, better to do someone else's, right? And even if you have the ability, it means you have the skill, but it's not your nature, better you don't do it. Right? Does that make sense? We have to remember is all the different parts of the Varnashram system are all the parts of the body of the Lord. Right? So the brahmacharis are the feet of the Lord, the grihasthas are the waist, the vanaprasthas are the arms, and the sannyasis are the head. And also in occupation, shudras are the feet, vaishyas are the waist, kshatriyas are the arms, brahmins are the head. So we can go on speculating and pontificating all we like about, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter. But go ahead and tell me that Krishna's got to walk around on his hands. Just go ahead. Right? tell me he's got to, you know, step all over the food to eat. He can eat with all his senses, but that's his choice, not yours. If you're a hand, you do the job of a hand. You don't say, oh, why do I have to do that? I'd rather do something else. So this is the point. Even if you have the skill to do what someone else can do, doesn't mean you do it. You can walk on your hands. It's not that they don't have the skill, they just don't do it. We have to get real at some point and understand all these things come from God. They're not an opinion, that therefore my opinion is as good as God's. We have to get real at some point and realize this place is created by the Lord and therefore it runs by His laws. But the point is since all these laws are meant to connect ourselves with Him in devotion, it's very simple, very natural. Someone who can sit with the deities all day, comfortably do that, they're the pujari. Someone who's good with money, these kind of things, he deals with the economics. Someone who's good with administration, they deal with that. Someone who's not good at those three does whatever else needs to be done. Very simple. Right? That's the point. So, just as the administrators or your managers love to say, oh, we're just devotees, it doesn't matter. So I would like to see it. Okay, then let's make the pot washer the temple president. Go for it, because it doesn't matter. We're all devotees. Oh, he's not qualified. So neither are you to know what's going on in other things. So you listen to the pujari when he says this is how it's done. And don't say, oh, we don't care for all these rules. Otherwise, make the pot washer the temple president, because it doesn't matter, we're all devotees. Put your money where your mouth is. Otherwise, shut up and listen to the philosophy and follow it. Right? And stop acting in the mode of ignorance while you're whimsically doing whatever you like against the authority of the scriptures. And because you've been around for a while, you claim it's Krishna consciousness. It's time to move on and get it together. Right? Does this make sense?
Yes.
So it's very simple. God only spent seven verses explaining this system. So it's not rocket science. You're either expert in knowledge, expert in administration, expert in money, or expert in doing whatever you're told. That's it. So I go, oh, who am I? I can't figure it out. It's so complicated. That's all it is. Just like, are you unmarried? Are you studying? Are you doing what some other person tells you to do? Yes, you're a brahmachari. Are you married? You're a grihastha. Was that rocket science? Hey, you've retired from grihastha life, right? You're not there getting out there, getting into the money, this, that. You're just going along and into your service. You're with your wife. You're not. You're a vanaprastha, right? You took sannyas. Hey, you're a sannyasi. Okay, was that rocket science? It's that simple. So the ashram side, everyone, yeah, I know what I am. But the varna side, no one wants to be the shudra. That's all. No one wants to. You, how are you making your money? You got a job? You're being paid? Hey, your occupation is a shudra. Hello? But at the temple, I do the puja and I do all the yajnas and I give all the classes. Yes, because by ashram, you're a Brahmin because you're a devotee. But you're making your money as a shudra. Bus. Finished. You run your own business? Hey, you're a Vaishya. Yes?
All right. Thank you so much. So, just wondering, you said a few times now, by ashram, you're a Brahmin. I was just curious if you could explain that a little more. I don't understand, because Brahmin's not one of the ashrams. So.
Because when Prabhupada, he always uses the term Brahminical culture. That's because ashram is only Brahminical. Sometimes devotees say, oh, there's Brahminical culture, there's Kshatriya culture, Vaishya culture. There is no. There's only Brahminical culture. Because the Vedic culture is meant for understanding Brahman. So therefore it's brahminical. So the four ashrams together, that's brahminical. Now someone who doesn't have a brahminical nature, it's not manifest so much, they may not go through all four varnas. Traditionally, when you're dealing with the, you know, how you say, non-devotional varnashram, then Brahman goes through all four orders, Kshatriya through three, Vaishya through two, and Shudra one. Right? Because unless you go to Gurukul, you're a Shudra. You know, as far as that goes. Because it means you're a Grihastha, because you never were a Brahmachari. Brahmachari means you're separated from the family and you study under the teacher. Whether it's, as a live-in school or even if it's just as a day school. But the prominence is you're studying under the teacher. That's the main authority as opposed to the parents. Because there's a difference. Because there's no sense of ownership when you're with the teacher. But when you're at home, it's your place. You do what you like. So that sense of ownership, because what makes a Grihastha ashram a Grihastha ashram? Means the Brahmachari is living in a house, right? Is it his house? No, a householder, because of the sense of ownership. And when the man's with a woman, when it's considered, I'd say, not confirmed, committed, when it's a committed relationship, then there's the sense of ownership. If it's uncommitted, there's no ownership. That's the problem. Right? Because ownership means then there's a strong connection. Right? Does that make sense? So that's necessary. So therefore the sense of ownership is what makes Grihastha Ashram. Right? Does that make sense? The man has all his stuff and it's all his, and the woman owns the man. Right? So it's very simple. Right? And so since it's his stuff, he's the guy that's got to fix the plumbing and do all that. It's not hers, right? Does that make sense? Things fall into place. Okay, it's very simple. So, simply that. So that's why if one doesn't go to there, then one has grown up in that system. So only Shudras do that. They just stay at home because they're learning an art. They're learning a skill. So, you know, if his father's a carpenter, all he has to do is be in the house. He'll learn the mentality because his father's there, part of the house is for the carpentry. He'll go and spend time there and he'll learn all that. And then when he's, 5 or 6 years old, they start to, give him stuff to do. And by the time he's, 18, ready to get married, he's a master carpenter. Does that make sense? So that's how the system works. Well, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas, they'll go to Gurukul, and after being trained, in the science here of these qualities, right? Then they have the, this ashram skills. Then they get married.
So Maharaj, what about these days, at least in the U.S., not so many of the devotees, not so many people become Brahmin, move into the temple anymore. So for them, they start out.
But the point is this is what's so perfect about the devotional process, is that it's not based on the perfection of the material environment. But just because it's not, doesn't mean the material environment's not important. You understand? This is the weakness, is that if it's not primary, it's nothing. Right? The American principle, it's all or nothing. You're either first or you're last. There's nothing else. Right? You're either the top celebrity, everyone's talking about you, you're in all the tabloids, or you're a nobody. That's it. There is no gray. You know what I'm saying? There is no gray. So, does that make sense? It's just the nature of the culture.
Yeah, yeah.
So because of that, then the mistake will be made is that, okay, I didn't do that, so therefore there's a fault, and therefore then they, emotionally fall apart. Or it's, to avoid that, it doesn't matter. No, it's a matter of, that didn't happen, so therefore what you should have gained as a brahmachari, gain it now. Because the Varnashram is based. The Varnashram system starts from Brahmacharya. It doesn't start in the Varnas. It starts in the ashram. And then his Brahmacharya is first. Then after that, one graduates, then one becomes a Grihastha. Grihasthas are Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Not Brahmacharis. They may have the nature. You know what I'm saying? And so, therefore, they would go in that direction. You understand? But it's what you are, is that because the Vanaprastha, he lives in the forest. He gives advice. So he's living the lifestyle, occupation of a Brahmin. Brahmacharya is a Brahmin. The sannyasi is Brahmin. Doesn't matter what their background is. Right? So only Grihastha, they're the ones making the money. Does that make sense? It means you're endeavoring to manipulate and materialize and get that money for yourself. Right? For the household. Does that make sense? So, it's very, very simple. It's so simple, it actually freaks people out. Why? Because no one wants to be the Shudra. Depending upon how you're looking at it, they don't want to be the Vaishya either. You know, unless it's coming down to money and who's in control, then of course they don't mind. You know, but the difficulty is, but Krishna has just said, it doesn't matter what your position. Every man can become perfect. Perfect means liberated. That means someone's a Shudra, he just does his Shudra duties, then he'll become liberated from that. And because he's doing it for Krishna, he'll become a devotee. The system is so perfect. Why? Because it's the body of the Lord. And so the Lord's body works nicely together. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's only in the, you know, the sci-fi themes that you only have a brain. Right? And that's the perfect, you know, evolution of the human. He's just a brain. You know? Like that. But the Vedic system is, you know, you're perfect. You still have arms and legs. Right? And you even have a head to put the brain in. Right? You know? It's like that. So, does that make sense? But we just discussed that. But first, what does first mean? Define first. You're saying it very confidently. So what does first mean? First social setup. How you'll have a social setup. So the guy comes out of the womb, bang, you know, hand him a bow and arrow. Varna first means if you're dealing with a bunch of adults, you're going to go by Varna because they're already in their ashram. They're already basically married or they're not married and want to get married. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to start there. If you're dealing with, they're going to be whether they're brahmachari or not, what they're fit for in the educational system, you see the nature. Right? So you're going to deal differently. The Brahman, you're going to just discuss philosophy. Right? The Kshatriya, you're going to discuss philosophy and show practical application and the future. Right? The Vaishya, you're going to talk about gain and loss. You act like this, then in the future you're going to lose everything. Like that. Shudra, you just deal real nice, very pleasant. Understand? So it defines how you're going to deal, what topics you're going to take, you know, in the school. You understand?
So the line remains brahmachari training.
It is brahmachari training, yeah. So because we're devotees, even the shooters can be involved, but generally they don't do very well. It means they do better in a modern academic system. Because all it is academics. It does nothing about your lifestyle. So they are comfortable there. For the Vedic system, there's an insistence on these, you know, motive goodness lifestyle. And so because of the devotional element, then some of the Shudra nature will adjust. It'll take time. Unless they come already very naturally devotional. If they're devotional, they'll fit right in because devotional is brahminical. But if they're not devotional,
then it's based on their own inherent qualities, and so it'll be rough for them. But by association and following the process, they'll become purified. And then they can act as a Brahmin, so they'll fit into the school. Does that make sense?
Isn't there something like a mixed varnas, like this Chandrasekhar was a...
Mixed varna means that, yeah, it's called, you have Chandala, you have Nishada, you have Sutta. These are mixed varnas.
And something between Brahmana and Shudra. Like,
no.
This Chandrasekhar, he was...
That's a kayasta. It means someone of a dvija character. Brahma, Kshatriya, or Vaishya. Generally it's Vaishyas, but it could be Brahma, Kshatriya, or Vaishya. That they're performing a Shudra job of being bureaucrats. So generally bureaucrats, it means the position is that of a Shudra. The work you're doing is that of a Shudra. But because you have to be very clever, then most of the time the best bureaucrats are those who are dvijas, who are acting as in this capacity. That's why bureaucracy becomes very attractive to those in that position, because it takes cleverness to do it. But they don't realize that they put themselves in a Shudra position. Does that make sense? See, the problem is you want to get into this, be ready for blunt.
So that would mean that the person has the qualification, but the faith and the dependence on the Lord?
Someone has the qualification, but the faith and dependence. That just drops it out of Daivavarnashram into ordinary. That's all. See, the difference between Daivavarnashram and Asurikvarnashram is simply, do you connect it to Krishna or not? It's that simple. It's not that a Surik Varnashram is some demoniac kind of method. No, it just means you follow the Varnashram. You have faith in the scriptures, but you're doing it for your own fruit of benefit.
And I see some devotees sometimes, they have nice, you know, Brahminical qualities. I mean, they're good teachers, they're knowledgeable, but then they have this kind of Sudra anxiety. Where's the money going to come from? And, you know, like,
yes, so that just means there's just some impurity. But the point is still, if that's what they're doing as their occupation, they continue with that. And then with time, as they get purified, things will work out. Because Krishna is saying, better you do your service, even though there's some fault in it. Because the point is the fault is why you're here in the material world. That's the difficulty. Yes.
So we have a Brahminical culture, and we hear that Shudras shouldn't study the Vedas.
They don't study the Veda means not that you don't sit down and study the Shastra, the philosophy. They don't learn the intonations of the Veda. Because for them it doesn't really matter. You know, it's what sounds good. So if they want to adjust it, they will. So you're not supposed to do that.
Intonations,
like when we were, that invocation verse, that's a Vedic mantra. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend using it outside this class. So it those notes that we're chanting, those notes are inherent with the syllable. Classical Sanskrit doesn't have that. You can put any note you want, so it just has a grammatical meaning. But in the Vedic Sanskrit, that besides the grammatical meaning, it also has an inherent tonal quality. And if you don't chant that tonal quality, it actually doesn't mean what you're saying, right? So that's why there's that the famous story of Tvashta, you know, performing that yajna to get an enemy of Indra, but he ends up with Indra's enemy. So because he chanted the verse wrong, because he said it was long or short. So now those who are the classical grammarists, which means basically everyone in our society except for Banu Maharaj, then they'll say, well, that doesn't make sense, you know, what Prabhupada's saying, what the Bhagavatam's saying, right? Because in the verse, the word means what it means. It exactly means that, you know, it's short, or it's short, and that's the way it should be. So why are they saying it's supposed to be long? Right? But in the Vedic grammar, then according to the Rig and Atharva. And so since he's doing a yagya to generate a demon, that would be from the Atharva. So it uses the same grammar as the Rig. So on certain syllables, even though they themselves are short, they get a mark that's long. It means that they're chanted up. It means you have three swaras, middle, lower, and upper. So even though it's a short syllable, it's chanted as an upper syllable, which then, therefore, is chanted long, even though technically, grammatically, it's a short syllable. So only someone who knows Vedic Sanskrit would know that. You understand? And so that resolves the problem, and Prabhupada and the Vedas are still correct. Does that make sense? So the point is because he chanted it wrong, he got the opposite effect. So that's why then it's not recommended that Shudras study the Veda, because they won't worry about these things, and then they'll get into trouble.
So Shudras are recommended to read Srila Prabhupada's books, but they're not recommended to learn these esoteric way to chant mantras?
That's all. It's just the chanting the mantras. They could learn the meaning of the mantras, but you know what I'm saying? If someone's very nicely devotionally situated, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But the point is that it's learned for occupational application for Brahmins, or for ashram application for everybody else.
So like we recite the verse every morning in Bhagavad, you don't mean like you shouldn't chant that. You don't mean
which
that.
One?
Like in the morning, you know, we recite the Sanskrit in the Bhagavad Gita, or we recite the...
No, that's fine. You know, I'm talking about the Sahana Bhava too. Okay. That's Vedic. That's Taittiriya Upanishad. We're using it from the boys' classes because they learn the Vedic stuff, and just I never figured out a different verse to use for this class. So
you're speaking specifically about the Shruti, not the Smriti.
Yeah, no, Shruti. When we say Veda, we mean the Vedic, you know, the memorizing the Samhita of the Veda, like that. But Upanishads, that's the higher principle that anybody can approach. There's Jabala. He was how do you say? His mother was a prostitute, but he was accepted by his Gotama, you know, as Brahminical, like that. So the background is there. You have to actually see the nature. Yes.
The occupation and ashram.
Occupation will be according to whatever their nature is. It means, in other words, one should not do something that one doesn't have the nature to do. That's all. Just as the men shouldn't do something they don't have the nature. It's the same with the women. And the situation of marriage, it's a matter of if one finds a suitable husband, one gets married. If not, one stays in the house of the father. That's the Vedic recommendation. You know, better the girl gets married, but better she stays in her father's house than marries someone who's not qualified. So that's the basic rule. Does that make sense? Anything else? A Kshatriya is not afraid during battle. He cannot be surpassed by others. Even in times of great distress, his senses do not become fatigued. Right? Cannot be surpassed by others. Right? He doesn't become afraid because he has that skill, you know, he doesn't have that fear of the loss of life. Right? Because it's the chivalry, that's the thing, it's that mood. So in a battle, he becomes more inspired. Right? We always hear the stories in the Krishna book when the Kshatriyas are that, you know, then they become, yeah, you know, and everybody else is, oh no, you know. So it's like, said that battle with Krishna and Jarasandha, there was so much blood, you know, it's just like flowing like rivers, you know, and in the rivers there's horses, you know, and elephants are like the islands, and heads are like the pebbles, and all these different things. The arms are like, you know, fish, and, you know, so. And so everybody else, you know, becomes faint, but the Kshatriyas become more inspired. So, wow, this is a good one, you know, like that. You know. So that he cannot be surpassed means if someone else is better, he won't tolerate that. He has to become that good. So if it's in a pure state, it's jealousy, not envy. Because jealousy means someone else is good, you'll also become good. So however good they get, you'll become better. That's jealousy. Envy is, he's good, we'll do something to make him not good. That way I'll be better. You understand? There's a difference.
So when we hear jealousy used in relationships?
Jealousy used in relationships, it's, if you know what you're doing, you can use it to nourish the relationship. Envy, that's not going to work. Envy's a problem. Because envy is destructive. Jealousy means there's the false ego, so it's got problems. But it's it still is usable. Do you know what you're doing? You know what I'm saying? So that thing. Even in times of great distress, his senses do not become fatigued. So the sense, he's able to engage the senses even if he's very tired. Others, they become tired, they just go to sleep. But he's able to keep going. He is expert in accomplishing his tasks. Right? So it's not just he's in charge, he actually can do. That's the point. Even if his death is certain, he does not flee turning his back to the enemy. I probably tell the story of these two Kshatriyas are fighting, and that, you know, and the fighting came down to swords, and then somehow or another, you know, the one lost his sword, so he pulls out his little dagger. Right? And then they're fighting, and then because of the advantage of the sword, then the one Kshatriya, you know, I say, stabs him with the sword. And so, but that brings the Kshatriya with the sword closer to the one with the dagger. So he grabs the handle of the sword, pushes it through himself, so that brings the other Kshatriya right next to him, and then kills him with his dagger. Prabhupada said, that Kshatriya. Right. So we have stories like that. That's a Kshatriya. Right? You know, so they're not worried about this, you know. Just because he's in charge, that doesn't make him a Kshatriya. He's tough, you know, that doesn't make him a Kshatriya, right? Like, bouncers are Shudras. They know the art, the martial art, right? That's why it's called art, martial art, not called martial science, martial art. The guy who knows the science is the guy, you know, the Brahmin who wanders around and created that art, right? That makes sense.
Soldiers
are Shudras. Like that. It doesn't mean that you won't have a Kshatriya acting in that capacity, but the general tendency is they'll move up. Right? The guy will start off as a bouncer and this and that, come back later, and then he's got his own security, you know, thing like that. You know, so, yes.
Someone who knows the science of martial science is
profitable? Means if he actually knows how it's working. Because especially there, if you're talking the martial arts, if you're talking Eastern here, then he actually knows how the masculine and feminine principles are working, and the Li and the Qi, you know, that kind of stuff.
If he teaches it?
If he's teaching it, it doesn't necessarily mean. You have to see what's his character in teaching it. If there's a lot of ego and everything, he may be a Shudra. Because arts you can learn from Shudras. You can all, it means... The best is Dvijas are learning from the Brahmins, but you can also learn it. Like, let's say the king could learn wrestling from a wrestler who's a Shudra. Right? Or may learn music from a musician who's a Shudra. So that's not a problem. He's the most expert, you'll learn from him. But he only teaches that. But when it's taught in connection with the Shastra, right? So it's taught in connection with that, that's where it's brahminical. Does that make sense? So there's the elements where people, what's their motive? You know what I'm saying? You know, in other words, let's say, does that make sense? You know, yeah, so you have all these fine overlaps like that, like what Prabhu was talking about. You know, someone in one mentality doing something else. So it may be an advantage, it may be a disadvantage. Just like, let's say, a hospital, that's supposed to be a brahminical element because it's medicine. Right? But to run those things on that level, then they have Vaishyas who are the board that decides what they're going to do so it's economically viable. So it's actually a business. So the Vaishyas are engaging Brahmins to do business. That's where the problem comes. Well, before the Ayurvedic doctor, he can fix you, you know, with, you know, 100 rupees of medicine. You know, you go to the allopathic, it'll cost you 100,000.
So, I know this from my personal experience. I know this one man. He is so engaged in martial science that he just wants to teach people that are eager to know it, and he's not into the money aspect of it.
So that may be Brahminical. It may also be Kshatriya. You have to see what's there. Means because the Kshatriyas many times for occupation, if they can't perform their natural duties, will take up skills. Because as it says, expert in accomplishing his task. So it's something you can do, you can take, accomplish like that.
That's a
Kshatriya
quality?
Means he is expert in accomplishing tasks is a Kshatriya quality. Yeah, so sometimes you see that they do that. You know, the guy was the Maharaj of this place, but now he runs like a mechanic shop. Because it's very straightforward, you get things done. You know, it's not uncommon, it's not ideal, but it happens. But it's still a business, so it's his business. So technically it's a business, but the business will be in a skill.
Alright, so what about a lawyer? So a lawyer is an officer of the court, at least in the U.S. So in that sense, it sounds like a little like Kshatriya, but then if you...
No, it's not Kshatriya. It's supposed to be Brahminical. It's supposed to be Brahminical because he knows the law and he's dealing with justice. He can be an element of the Kshatriya if he's...
fighting for a cause.
You say an officer of the state, and then he's been put into that position. You know what I'm saying? He has an administrative post, but let's say that there's something that needs adjudicating, so he's you know, given that he should set up a commission to take care of that. So, and then when that's done, he goes back to his administrative business. Then that might be a Kshatriya element. But generally speaking, they're supposed to be Brahminical.
Why?
But many of them are Vaishyas because Vaishyas are also clever. Because the point is it's supposed to be based on the Vedic principles, so it's based on eternal law. And so it's not rhetoric, it's supposed to be logic. But Vaishyas, you know, because of the element of the economic aspect and because of the mode of ignorance there, so the art aspect, they can learn, means if their ability, they can learn the law and learn how to use it to make money. So that's the point, is that why are they a lawyer? If it's just to make money, or it's that they like that field and then they make money from it, right? Everybody has to make money, so that's not the point. It's what's your principle for doing it that's behind it?
You know, my experience is everyone I see around me, they're pretty much all just interested in making money, and they'll twist the logic of all the precedential law just to try to win their argument when they know it's wrong.
Yeah, so but that also just may be bad qualities. So you'd have to see. The point is then you have to look at it very carefully. You know what I'm saying? But what we're saying is when you situate yourself in these things, so not to contradict before saying it's so easy, is that there are fine points within each one. You know, so you have to see because there's elements of overlap. Like farming, that's one thing for the Vaishnavas. But a Shudra can also farm. But he just does his own farming. Well, a Vaishya can engage Shudras to do bigger farming. You know what I'm saying? But a Vaishya could also do his own farming. And that's all. You know, he gets in his, you know, how you say, $500,000, you know, sink that big machine like that, puts on air conditioning, puts on his music, and then, you know, drives for the next, you know, 50 miles, you know, plowing his fields like that. So, you know, it's still a Vaishya.
And then sometimes people in these Brahminical or Vaishya or whatever kind of position as a lawyer, then, but they, most of them, they work for someone else. So
that's the point, is that this is where the Western culture, it's, people are still in their basic natural positions, but it's not scientific. Prabhupada said, the whole world works by Varnashram, so we say Varnashram doesn't work. No, it's going on right now. The difference is whether you want to have the knowledge and make it scientific, or you're happy with the mishmash. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, there's a firm. The firm is run as a business, so that makes it a Vaishya element. But most people in it, at least the lawyers, then generally they're Brahminical, like that. But they may be of something else. They might be Kshatriyas, they might be Vaishyas, like that. And they'll have lots of shooters there who do all the backup work and get the files and get all this and that. And if they're able to move up and become lawyers, then they had that brahminical nature. They stay like that forever. That's generally a shudra.
But isn't the lawyer also, like, in one sense a shudra?
Means he's been made into one by the Vaishyas, by working for the company, just like I said, that he's working for the hospital. So that way, everybody basically becomes. In the Vaishya's mind, everybody should be Shudras. It should be him, and everybody else is Shudras. Right? In his mind, all the politicians, everybody should be in his pocket.
So he's a communist.
So it's a combo of Brahmin, Vaishya, Shudra in many cases.
That's there, but the point is what we're saying here is, what is it that you have to engage in Krishna's service, right? Because this is not at this point a study in Varnashram. This is a study on how to connect what you're doing to Krishna, right? So that means, what is it that is there? Okay, but even take anything you want. But let's take its natural state. You take law. So law is coming from the Lord, right? So that means the law should be in connection with the eternal principles, right? So you're trying to establish, you know, what's the correct activity and what's incorrect activity. That's basically what you're trying to establish. And who has done what? Has a person done correct or incorrect? So that whole position is there so that the creation goes properly. God's made it. There's an order that's there. So without law, there is no order. Right? So that means the lawyer is supposed to see to that order. But he's supposed to know what that order is. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you're connecting. That's its connection. Right? And if nothing else, if that doesn't connect, it's so far from reality, then it is just an endeavor to make money, then economics, then you're looking at the element of economics coming from God. Right? It's a lower principle. So instead of Dharma, you're talking with Artha. So economics, that means you win the case, you get paid. You lose the case, you don't get paid. Right? So therefore, better you get paid, so better you win the case. So to win the case means you have to have better arguments than the other guy. You have to have more information than the other guy. And so that's what you do. You know what I'm saying? So it loses some of its, nobility, but it pays the bills. Right? But still you're able to see its connection to the Lord. That's what's important from here. That's the conclusion here. So it's not a full Varnashram discussion. It's the conclusion that whatever is the nature, so that's why you have to see, okay, it may be a mix, but why are you in it? You know, it means, in other words, it means that to make money, okay, but is it the making of money that's important, or is that you need to make money? You know what I'm saying? For a Vaishya, it's making of money is important. They have more money than they need. That's why it's part of their occupation to give in charity. Because if it's up to them, they'll make money and just keep making it. They don't need that much money. They can't spend it. They just have to make it.
They don't have time to spend.
Yeah, they don't have time to spend. Does that make sense? So but for others, they're making money because it does something. You know what I'm saying? The Kshatriya, he makes money because it runs the kingdom. But running the kingdom's what's important. He needs money. You know what I'm saying? But the Vaishya, he'll run a kingdom to make money. Do you understand? That's the difference. That's the whole point. And so, making money isn't the element. It's whether it's your need is to make money. That is your drive. You see something and you think, hey, we could sell this. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's like, you know, the man is sitting around and he's working out these theories and all this and that, and he's finally worked it out and all this, and so he's thinking, great, knowledge has been expanded. Another guy goes, wow, we could make money off of this. So that's the difference. You know, or another guy goes, oh, with this knowledge, then we could have more power. You understand? So you have to see what's the inherent nature behind. That's then what you work with, because it's your value which is what you want to, how, where you're going to be able to most efficiently look for Krishna, right? Because there's that drive, there's that need. So from need comes work, right? And if there's need, that means there's identity and contemplation and inspiration. So that's where you want to look. Does that make sense? So whatever is the reason that the person is a lawyer, it doesn't matter in the Krishna conscious element, is that element you have to connect. Does that make sense? That's okay.
Okay. I'm just thinking about from Czech Republic, there was a president who was a dissident before communist times. And he's a philosopher and he's a writer. Deep thoughts he has in stressing the spirituality of the yogic in our world. But by character, he's a woman hunter and almost a drunkard. And I
pretty standard. I said very standard. You check out the French intellectuals, they're probably worse. I forget, one of the very famous guys. Yeah, he was an absolute debauchee, but someone commented on it once, and so he created a whole philosophy to explain it.
Yeah.
And that philosophy now is one of the very mainstream basis of you know, modern philosophical thought.
Existential.
Yeah, the existential, you know, so like that. He just was insulted that someone had, you know, made a comment. Because he lived like in brothels and stuff like that. So he was, you know, he came up with this, and now it's like, you know, the great thinker of, you know, like that.
So are there still Brahminical elements?
Brahminical elements are there, but just they become so polluted, they're acting as shooters. Like here, he's living in a brothel, so that means he's living in a mode of ignorance, right? He's creating this only out of pride. Pride has already come from the greed and, you know, attachment and greed, right? Because he wasn't living with one lady, he was living with many ladies, right? Why live in a brothel? Right? You want to live with one lady, live at home. You know what I'm saying? So he's allowed himself to become contaminated. So you have to be able to see where the fault is and where the nature is. Because otherwise, oh, he's that, he can't be brahminical. That's so simplistic. Because there's faults, right? Means, starts with an A. You know, killed the sons of Kunti. I mean, of Draupadi.
Ashwatthama.
So he's a Brahmin. But by association and by not being careful in his, you know, practices and that, he involved himself in very, you know, despicable activity. So you could take that activity and based on that give a punishment. Technically it wouldn't be wrong. But at the same time is because other than that, he inherently is always acting in a brahminical capacity. Then you would take that as a basis, right? Because Krishna was saying, no, you have to satisfy, you know, how you say, Draupadi and himself, right? And he was taking Bhima, the hard line, right? Just to show you have to balance, right? Because the point is, I mean, someone in that capacity, they would naturally be punished in a particular way. But because he does have the brahminical character, and that's been shown consistently, therefore he's dealt with in a different way. But you have to obtain the same result. Does that make sense? So physically killing a Brahmin and insulting a Brahmin, the reaction is the same. Does that make sense? That's why it said never insult Brahmins. The reaction is the same. It's considered as good as killing a Brahmin. So therefore he had to kill him, but at the same time, not kill him. So therefore he insulted him. You understand? And so then that made it, that accomplished both. So one is considering this. So that's why that fine point, that's why it's Arjuna. He sets the example, he sets the standard. He's able to make that distinction. You know what I'm saying? Or Arjuna, again, then he and the family, when they're, before they're married, they come to the Ganga at night, and then he's attacked by, I think, Chitrarata, Gandharva king. And then there's a big fight, and Arjuna uses the Agni Astra and defeats him and takes him to Yudhishthira, and then Chitrarata's wife comes and says, you know, please let him go. So then they let him go, because they say, for the Kshatriyas, they say any Kshatriya who's protected by a woman, they're not going to harm. Just like you wouldn't kill the woman, then you wouldn't kill a Kshatriya protected by one. Mm-hmm. Like that. So,
Because it was just like such an insult for
him. Yeah, it's as good as being killed. Like, if you're going to kill him, it's even worse for a Kshatriya is that your wife got you out of it. so like that. So it worked, you know. But because of their qualification, then they became very good friends. Extremely good friends. And so then Chitrarata wanted to give him, you know, I think 100 Gandharva horses and this knowledge of how things work in the universe, these different things. And he said, no, I won't take it. And he says, you know, why not? He says, because I don't take gifts for the work I'm supposed to do. Right? So as a Kshatriya, I fight, and as a Kshatriya, I protect. So, you know, you were protected because of our duty. So I'm not going to get paid for that. So he's distinguishing that, okay, he's a friend. He's saying, no, but I'm a friend. He says, but the reason he's inspired to give him this is because of how he dealt with him. Right? If it just out of the blue came and said, hey, you know, you come for a visit, then he gives you a gift, that's normal. Right? But he saved you, you know, and then you give a gift. Then that means that's payment for that. So he won't take it. So these are fine points. So it doesn't mean that the Vedic system is so simple that anyone can understand it, but at the same time it's so sophisticated that it applies to every living entity in every situation. That's what's unique about it. Does that make sense? So you have to be able to go through and see what's the underlying. Because otherwise, how do you know how to speak to him? Right? He's a debauchee and all this, but that's not the basis of discussion. You know what I'm saying? He was a street guy, you know, that all we did is, you know, make a little money at the side and then, you know, get drunk and go after the ladies. Then you that may be their position. Right? But if you wanted to have a discussion with him in Krishna consciousness, you're going to use philosophy. Right? Because that's his nature, though it's polluted. Does that make sense?
We can't say they are Brahmanas, these people.
What do you mean by Brahmana?
Well, someone who fits the definition in the Vedic.
But fits the definition, but fits what in the definition? The qualities. Okay. The child is born. Is he a Brahman?
Krishna knows.
Krishna knows. Okay, but the point is you're in this class for you to know. Krishna already knows, so he doesn't need the glass. He's doing fine. Okay? You don't know, but the point is you have to know. Is he a Brahmin or not?
Not yet.
Not yet. Let us say I have a cauliflower. It's sitting in the field. It's right there in the ground. Do I have a cauliflower subject I can serve you for lunch? No. But can I take that cauliflower sabji and make it into?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the point. You're looking for potential. The point is he's not acting in the brahminical capacity, but what's his potential? You know what I'm saying? So this person, if he took up Krishna consciousness, what would be his occupation? It would be brahminical. You understand? Does that make sense? So that's the point. It doesn't mean that whatever the position doesn't make them greater or lesser as a devotee. Just like in the Sri Vaishnava line than when we mentioned about the wrestler. There was a famous wrestler. He was the best wrestler. He taught wrestling to the king. He became a devotee of Ramanujacharya. So he's very prominent in the pastimes of Ramanuja because he was like Ramanuja's servant and everything like that. He still did his occupation, wrestling for the king. And because of that, he was very wealthy. But many of the stories about devotion and good qualities being important are told in connection with this devotee as opposed to others. Does this, that make sense? So the point is as an occupation, he's a Shudra. But as a devotee, then he's Brahminical. Right? So the more one has been practicing, the more the Brahminical qualities will manifest. Right? But still, there's your occupation. Does this make sense? Yeah. Because it's prestige-wise. See, the, what's the important thing of the Western society? Prestige. Yeah. You know, they're known as the, you know, what is it, the conquistadors, right? You know, they have to go out and conquer the world, right? You know, they can't just sit there in their own little country, right, and be happy. So their ego is such, right? You know, it's like this. Let's say you have, you know, an Asian culture. So elements of that culture is being followed by billions of people. You know, it's easily probably 3 billion, half of the planet is probably Asian, right? And they're basically all following certain basic elements of, you know, family and social life that we will say it's Kali Yuga, they can't be practiced. You know what I'm saying? So that's not practical to apply in the West. But somehow or another, it's perfectly normal that any Western element of culture, anything, should be able to be applied in, you know, Asia. You understand? So why is it goes only one way unless you're dealing with an incredible amount of false ego? You understand? So because of this false ego, no one wants to be in the, if the Shudra was the best thing, you know what I'm saying? If, you know, being an artist, you know, and having your black and white striped t-shirt with your beret and, you know, like that, and then that would be the best. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, but the devotees generally don't, you know, probably very few are bohemians, okay? So it's a problem for them because the Shudra's on the bottom. He's told what to do. You know, he's not in control of the money. He's not in control of the power. He's not the intellectual. So what's his, no one wants to be that. Even though, basically speaking, most devotees is an occupation. That's what they do. And it's not a problem because what does it matter? When you come to the temple, it doesn't matter what you do. It's a matter of what you're qualified for. Do you lead the artik? Do you give the class? You know, do you do the puja? It's just a matter of your spiritual qualification. Right? Does that make sense? So, why they worry about it, I don't know. But the thing is if that's the case, then when it comes to how the temple should be administrated, who should be making comments? The devotee who has a job as a Shudra, or someone who has a job in something higher than that? That's the point. So this is where it becomes a trouble. Because everybody, due to their own personal insecurity, doesn't want to be controlled. And so, therefore, you have to have a temple committee. Right? We have a temple president. You don't need a committee, because no one on that committee is going to do anything anyway. You know what I'm saying? They're there to tell the temple president what to do. So what are they trying to do? Make him into their Shudra. Right? Does that make sense? So that he does what they want to get done that none of them can do. Right? In other words, if someone on that committee could actually do it, why would they not be the president? It's that simple. But people say, no, it's more complicated. Yes, it's more complicated because what I'm talking about is just mechanics of administration and management. But what they're talking about is more complicated. That means feelings and emotions. Does that make sense? You know, just like the man goes, the woman's going on about something and the man logically works it out in about, you know, 10 seconds. And the woman goes, you don't understand. And he's going, what do you mean? It's logical. So what's more, what's not there is the emotional content and those considerations. Yes.
All right. I agree with what you said very much. And I think it's filled with great insights. But I was just wondering, isn't it possible that you could have a committee or, you know, a board of directors, whatever you want to call it, that that doesn't necessarily have the temple president as its, you know, as its machine to do, to really, as its shudra? Couldn't that board also just sort of act as a checks and balances and otherwise generally give the president a free hand to do it, to run a temple as he likes? Is that possible? Sort of like another, of course, Prabhupada set up the GBC to fulfill that function, but couldn't the board conceivably, couldn't that be its aim and function to basically do what the GBC is supposed to be doing?
Okay. So what nature was that? No. What he just said. It's brahminical. Yeah, so it's brahminical. But it wasn't a morality, what's right or wrong. It was a theory, a philosophy. Okay. So if there was any doubt whether where you fit in that category. So in theory, yes. But in practicalness, why is there a committee? Do you need a committee? You have a temple president. He just has to run how many brahmacharis and how many deities? Okay, 12 deities and 5 brahmacharis. Okay. You know, 3 are from Russia and 2 are from Bengal. Well, actually, I wouldn't want to insult the Lithuanian because he's not actually Russian. So 2 Russians, 1 Lithuanian, 2 Bengalis. Yeah. Okay, so why do you need that committee? It's because he's incapable? No, it's because the community is insecure that they don't trust that he'll do things that they want him to do, so they want to have that board so that they're on it. If it is as you say, but why would you need it for a temple president? I could understand a group of temple presidents coming together to work out, you know, some kind of cooperative spirit in an area. But why do you need it for the temple? You know what I'm saying? If the president himself wants to have a board to give him advice in different areas, in economics or management or, you know, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to set up an administration, but they're under him as far as structure goes. But he should only choose those persons that he sees as senior to him. You understand? This is the Vedic balance. Is the ministers administratively are below the king, but as far as their position, they're as respectability, they're above the king. You understand? This you don't get in the Western thing. Their point is they're above, they're managerially above, they're everything above. But it's all one way. Again, the Western concept. Right? In the Orient, they don't have problem that you have the king and he has his Brahmins and all that. You know, even as far as, it's going to the Middle East, it was accepted. You know, and even before, as long as, you know, religion was considered cool, it worked like that. You know, it didn't work so good for Beckett, but hey, you know.
In the Middle East, it's not so accepted at this very moment, though.
That's there. Like that. So that's, yeah.
The Vedic system, Maharaj, would be that the committee would be more like advisory.
The committee is ministers, that's all. They're advisors, that's all. They may have portfolios, they may be active, but they discuss as a group, but still the decision is the king's. Then they have their positions and they do their duties. So it could be purely advisory, or if they would have a portfolio. So it's up to the president how he constitutes it. So that he has devotees like that he takes advice from, that's smart. So in other words, for a temple president to arrange such a committee, that's smart. That's good administration. For the community to demand it because they don't trust the temple president, that's just nonsense. It doesn't work anywhere. You understand?
Yeah.
So you'd have to distinguish how it's being applied. Does that make sense?
What about though, like, try? What about when the board is there to doing just what you said? They don't trust the temple president, but then.
So therefore, you'll notice that yatra in that temple, nothing really happens. Means it may happen, but what was developed from before, but nothing new is going on. It's not expanding. Nothing dynamic.
Isn't that the GBC's function, though, to an extent?
Yes, means that's a whole other discussion. Is that GBC is the seat of standards. Administration, that's the temple president's.
But occasionally the GBC wants the temple president to be removed, so it's not the
That's okay if he's yet. Not doing his job, but he does that with the support of other GBC men. They also consider that he needs to be removed and replaced. It's not done by a singular GBC doesn't do that. Right? Unless it's so obvious like that, yes.
Could you have a situation where such a committee actually serves the purpose of just making like the community at ease? It seems that God.
So like an ombudsman, but that means then the administration is not working on the principle of protection, right? So they're trying to affect protection, but through a method that is not going to work. Because if they don't trust the president, it's just a matter of time before they don't trust the committee. Then you have to have a committee to take care of the committee, right? So how many, means it's just like this, is that you may have about how many government offices are there? And how many are there doing, before you just had, there was the army and there was the local police, right? But then there was a problem between states, so then they had to have a federal police, the FBI. And then you had the army, but then they had the CIA, and then they have all these other special things, and each one doesn't get along with the other, and each one's walking with the other, and many times they're just fighting with each other. You understand? So they just make more and more and more and more. So the difficulty is the principle is protection. If that's not there and understood, who constituted the committee? If they don't know what protection is, how they will create it? You know what I'm saying?
You sometimes comment on the temple courtyard. Is that, I mean, this gossiping or this, I mean, is that just something that just happens and goes on and that's not...
That's not part of Varna, that's part of ashram. That's just called
that's
Prajalpa.
That's where this committee idea...
Yes,
grows,
so those
right?
who Prajalpa is very important to them, they get like this. But then what are they doing? They're lamenting. So where does it come from? It's Shudras.
So what's the deal?
So the problem is when Shudras aren't protected, then they come up with these ideas. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, or they are in a higher position than that, but they don't want to do it themselves, but they don't want to be bothered, so then they'll come in. Because generally speaking, the common devotee won't be able to pull it off, so they'll have to, some intellectual, some, you know, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya will have to pull it together. If it's a Vaishya, it'll be for a specific thing, then it'll disappear. The Kshatriya, you know, it's supposed to be this thing that's in place, it's so necessary and this and that. Brahmin will be a theory. You know, so if the theory is not in connection with the Vedas, then it'll do something, but it'll make more mess. Yes.
When Vena was a nuisance, then Brahmanas didn't try to advise him and just disposed of him.
They advised him, but the problem was, they put him on the throne because, you know, he was there, he was qualified, he knew the science of the Kshatriya. But the thing is because of his demoniac nature, he became so self-centered that he became opposed to the Brahmins and all the, and the cows, the Vedic culture. But as long as that wasn't there, then he kept peace and order. So everybody else, maybe he wasn't personally well-situated in his personal development, but he would control the kingdom so that everybody else could be. Right? But when he got where he's disrupting the actual fabric of it, then he was removed.
But what about a system, Maharaj, where you have a temple president who is temple president by the structure of the system? He's temple president for just several years, and then another temple president rotates in, and then yet another one 3 years later or so.
Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever works. The point is whoever's sitting on the seat, he's in charge. That's it. the other two presidents, then they can give advice, but they're not the last word. That's just the way it is, because they're not taking the responsibility. Who takes the responsibility, then they have the authority. That's the way it goes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's that simple. But people, they want the authority even though they don't have the responsibility. That's cheating. It's nothing short of cheating. That's all. You take, if that committee takes full responsibility, great, go for it. It's not an ideal, but you can get it to work. You know where the committee management comes from? You want to really know where it comes from? That's the village level. In the Vedic system, that's village level. Yeah, the panchayat. There's a certain group. You have, you know, this Brahmin and the blacksmith and, you know, this farmer and this and that. So you represent what would be in the village. And they make the decisions. It's just a committee. And then they choose kind of a head, but he's not like the authority over them. He just represents them. You understand? That's where it comes from. So people who are actually administrators don't buy it. It's people who are not by this, because as far as their administrative capacity, it's very villagey. So they'll come up and actually think that a committee will work. You understand? It can't work. There has to be someone calling the shots. Does the army work by a committee? You're out there on the field, and, you know, the enemy's coming over the hill, so let's have a committee meeting here, and let's vote. And
we're waiting for an enemy.
Is that the way it works? Okay. And that board meets, but who actually makes the decisions?
President,
the CEO. If they don't like what he's done, they may remove him and put someone else, but he still calls the shots. Ultimately, no functioning system works unless someone calls the shots. You know what I'm saying? If a Supreme Court judge makes a decision, what happens? It's not questioned. It's just, that's it. You know, the president says, this is what's happening. That's what happens. You know what I'm saying? You know, they don't like it afterwards. They can go through a bureaucratic process and impeach him. But when he says it, you do it, or it's treason. That's all. It's just, otherwise it doesn't work. There is no system that is run by a committee except a village. Because the village is moving slow enough, it doesn't matter. It's just manipulating something to make things work nicely in people's lives. It's not actually administration. You know what I'm saying? And so, village level, you know, generally that kind of thing. And then bureaucracies, we said, shudras, where you have these, you know, smarter class people who are involved in administrate beyond that. You see the connection? So, the village level and the bureaucracy. But in that, you need authority. Is anybody talking about a person, an individual leader being the authority? No, they're avoiding that. That's why they're creating the committees and the bureaucracy, is to avoid anybody having power. So, that's coming either from shudras or from so-called Brahmins who have authority issues. Right? In other words, unprotected shudras, unprotected Brahmins come up with their kshatriyas, they'll just make their own arrangement or won't get involved. Vaishnavas will go out and make some money and who cares? You understand? It's very simple. You can see just the logic of it. Is that okay? Yes. Yes. Okay.
Is it not strange when just Kshatriya is ruling over all the Brahmanas and not taking advice?
But do we want to understand about connecting this to Krishna? You know what I'm saying? That's the point. Because we've answered it. We've already said, we've said before how the Kshatriya has advisors who administratively are junior to him, But as far as the relationship, they're senior to him, and that's the position. So why would you bring up, isn't it strange if there's a Kshatriya who doesn't do that? We've already said it's wrong. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So the point is that's the standard. But this is what we're saying is this is not the forum for discussing fully Varnashram. Does that make sense? Like that. That we're going to do in Finland this summer. Like that. Is that okay? Like that. So you want to get into the details of that? Then go to Finland.
Not now.
Not right this second. No, stay here now.
Wait for the sun.
We're discussing philosophy now. Does that make sense? Because this is the form how to connect your position to Krishna. So it's touched on Varnashram, so we brought out things just to, so we can see that. It's not a full discussion of Varnashram. Does that make sense? Farming, cow protection, and business are the natural work for the Vaishyas. And for the Shudras, there's labor and service to others, right? So it mentions labor and service to others, because the natural thing is that service, that they're working under somebody. But in case that's not available, then they can just do labor, right? Means that they're not, you may hire them, they work for you, they go away, and things like that. They're not your Shudra. You know what I'm saying? So that's common now. So service is more prominent. Like that. Following the qualities of work, every man can become perfect. So what is the qualities of his work? That's what he has to do. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. Right? So here, why mention he is all pervading? Why in this particular capacity? Source of all beings and who is all pervading.
No matter if you're Brahman or a Sutra or whatever you are.
Yeah, you're all connected with the Lord. Everybody's part of the Lord. So therefore, this system pervades through the cosmic creation because it's the Lord's body. The Lord is pervading everything. So it's not that it's not there. In the spiritual world, you still have the same divisions. Like that. So it's just how it works. Right, so when it says, Purushashukta is saying, the Lord has his arms and legs and heads, you know, and feet everywhere, then that means all these varieties of nature is everywhere. So all natures, so they're actually coming from the Lord. Just the jiva has a particular desire, therefore he's been put into that situation where he is given that particular nature, but the nature is still coming from the Lord. Yes.
One time Srila Prabhupada asked about ISKCON not different from Krishna.
Yes.
But why so difficult Varnashrama manifest from this society?
Because the Western society is so situated in passion and ignorance. And so the point is unless you see the fruit of results of the Varnashram, you're not going to do it. Or, from ignorance, is that you're going to oppose it because that's just the nature of ignorance. Right? So I'm saying there's no such concept of duty. You know what I'm saying? Generally, most places in the world, though there is the element to come up, it's kind of like where you are situated. That's generally the social system that you'll function in. And it's accepted that as long as you're taken care of, it's not difficult, it's not a problem. The problem comes up is when you're not protected. Right? You understand? But the Western system, more especially the American system, is that's there, and you could be burdened down by that, but actually it's just you are whatever you make of yourself. So you basically just claw your way to the top, and whoever does, hey, they're successful. They're glorified. So it doesn't matter. But not that they should be up there. You know what I'm saying?
Devotion can help.
Yes, devotional service can help. And so, basically speaking, most devotees, it's not a problem. It means your only problem comes is leadership. like that. For most devotees, it's not a problem.
Yeah, Srila Prabhupada gives some perspective, like this can correct about Vadashrama.
Correct means?
In society, Krishna consciousness.
He's asking if he Prabhupada gave the medicine for that disease and his instruction.
We are chanting Hare Krishna. We chant and everything one becomes purified. And so then it becomes easy to figure out what you're doing. The point is body, mind, and words are connected to Krishna. So you have to use a medium. So the brahmachari, it's not that... his point is the sacrifice of that work. Right? He's doing work for someone else, under someone else's direction. That's his focus. He's engaging the senses, but it's not the engagement of the senses that's his focus. You understand? It's that sacrifice, that austerity, right? That will be more prominent. For the grihastha, that element is there, but the medium is going to be that of the senses. So it's engaging the senses in connection with the sense objects and seeing that point of sacrifice. You understand? So since the idea is that we're supposed to engage body, mind, and words in the Lord's service, we should have an indication where to start. So if you're a brahmachari, you know where to start. If you're grihastha, you know where to start. You know what I'm saying? In the same way, if you're a brahmin, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, you know where to start. So varnashram is a tool to engage yourself in the Lord's service. But we always approach it as a political and economic system. Right? Does that make sense? Because in the discussion over the last basically hour and a half, of varnashram, have there been any questions outside of political power and economics? None. You understand? It's who's in control. Varnashram is not about who's in control. It's about what you're supposed to do to serve the Lord. You understand? Yeah, so that's the problem, is that the devotees are taking varnashram as simply an external political form. And so they say, well, we don't want varnashram, we want democracy. It's like, you know, it's like saying, no, we don't want food, we want, you know, chainsaws. So what does that got to do? You're going to eat a chainsaw for lunch? So what's the connection? Right? Varnashram is, democracy doesn't include, you know, all the elements. Varnashram does, therefore it includes even democracy. In the Vedic system, democracy is there up to a lower level. The lower court, you know, from the village level up to the lower court, that is democratic because it's representative of the people. But that's not how you administrate. You have to know what is good for the people and what the people need. Then you administrate. But the people don't know administration. They know? The guy sitting in his, you know, why we call it? You know, those nuts. Not mobile homes, what do they think? But they
trailer park,
right? You know, like that. And so what does he know about the administration? He just knows that this guy, he seems to be nice and what he's saying, you know, is good, you know, lower taxes and this and that. So of course he wants that. But what does that got to do with, you know, the policy on, you know, how they deal with another country or, you know what I'm saying? Whether they, you know, upgrade to a new, you know, military airplane or gun. What has it got to do with that? You know what I'm saying? You know, if it was a matter of, you know, what the army was going to eat, you know, okay, that maybe they could do, you know. You know, is it going to be McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken? Then he might have a very strong and practical opinion. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that he's protected, he's able to perform his duties, he's able to fulfill his needs, you know, according to what he deserves. Then that the government should see it happens. So, therefore, the democratic representation is there to make sure that the administrators know what's going on in their country. And besides knowing from that system, they should go out themselves and personally see. Right? They should personally see. So that's why the kings would dress up incognito and go out in the streets. That's how Ram heard, you know, about how the dhobi was talking, the washerman, because he was out, you know, doing, they have to go out and see what's happening. Because you're dealing with ministers and other people and all these different things and spies and stuff. They may be well trained and know exactly what's going on. They may not be so well trained, or they may be motivated. So the king has to go out himself to see. So if his ministers have said that, he's gone out and seen that, then it's confirmed. But if ministers say one thing, he sees another thing, we got a problem. So if he sits in his room and, you know, he gets his little email every now and again, you know, about what's going on in the management, and then he thinks he's on top of the management, it's not very well situated. You understand? So it's not a political system. It means it's a philosophical system that practically applies in your life. It's the culture. It's the practical application of the philosophy. You don't understand the philosophy, you won't understand Varnashram. You can understand the philosophy, you can understand Varnashram. It's simple. They go together. Does that make sense? So that's the...
Is it like that basically the problem with administration appears when people feel unprotected, which is basic function of it, or, you know?
Yeah, it means that for the common person, the problem is if they're not being protected.
Right.
Yeah, and for administration, if they're not giving protection, means they've missed the point of what they're actually supposed to do. Most think we're supposed to manage. No, you're supposed to protect. Management is a tool for protection. Right? So the kings use management, they use taxes and money so that they can have the infrastructure, they have an army, they have police, right? They have officers, they have, you know, all these different things. That's also, they can see that everything goes nicely to protect the people. So those are tools. That's why if you have so many stories you have of the king, he loses everything. Right? Or it was already lost before him. You know, his father and his uncles already, you know, did something, or the great-grand, you know, father and like that, and then they're out hiding somewhere or living somewhere, and then somehow or another he comes up and there's a, you know, opportunity and need, and then he comes forward. But he was one man with nothing. How did he come up? And now he can organize so many things because he's actually got that nature. So these are tools. So a Kshatriya is a Kshatriya whether he has a kingdom or is just himself. The Pandavas, they had nothing. They were, you know, just as glorious as when they had the world. You understand? These are tools. But because of the modern way of thinking, where, you know, it's not even modern, it's just a materialistic way of thinking, that if the facility is actually the thing. So if we have the power, we have the money, then we're actually, you know, can manage. No, it's that if you're a manager, then these things help. If you don't have them, you can still manage. You know what I'm saying? Like that. People do big preaching programs, though they have no money and no authority, because they know how to organize. They get people together that are qualified, discuss things, everyone says, okay, I'll do this, I'll do that, and all the different things, and then they put together a big festival. But they did it from nothing.
Like Gandhi also, he was doing so many things.
He was a lawyer.
So, like that. Can it be that the citizens actually are being protected, but they just don't feel it?
That's there. That's also there, but they, so that they need training. That's also there. If they're being protected, they don't know, but then that's why you don't want to avoid bad association. So that's why the kings also have to see that those who have don't know aren't going and disturbing those who are peaceful. Does that make sense?
It's basically a male-female relationship. Women have to try to be satisfied.
Woman has to try to be satisfied, yes, but the man has to be trying to arrange that she is satisfied.
Right. And this is like relationship between administration and...
Yes, like that. Yeah, that combination, that works. Because the point is people are supposed to be trying to go back to Godhead. That's what they're trying to do. So all these other things are secondary. We make them very primary because of our conditioned nature. But they're not. They're not actually primary. Primary is understand these points, connect yourself to Krishna. That's the real thing. Right? If that's in place, everything else becomes very easy. Right? Because it doesn't matter what you are. You know, it's, that's what you can do. So the guy is okay. You know, he does have his job outside, and he is paid for it, and he's a plumber. Okay, so now he gives the Bhagavatam class, and when the class is over and everybody leaves, then he goes in the back and fixes the deity's sinks because they're plugged up. So is there a problem? No. So what's the big deal? It's just a matter of varnashram. No, is so you know how everybody should be engaged, how they know how to engage themselves, how they know what perspective to approach engaging themselves in the Lord's service. That's all it is. It's a science. It's a practical science, or let's say a cultural science of self-realization. That's all. That's what varnashram is. But we love to use it in all kinds of other things like that. So that's the difficulty. And that's why we can't get it to apply, because it's a science of self-realization. Till we understand that, we won't be able to apply it. When people forgot that, that's when it falls apart in Kali Yuga. It falls apart simply because people don't have this understanding. Not that it won't work. You know what I'm saying? It'll work perfectly fine. What doesn't work is that people don't have the understanding, and unfortunately they're not willing to have the understanding. Right? Yes.
This goes back to my first question, which is, so one can be the plumber in the giving a class in the temple. So presumably that means he's thoughtful about the points of our that. The make up our philosophy.
Yes.
And then you would say, though, Maharaj, that such a person, because his nature as a varna is to do something like plumbing, not something intellectually challenging.
Not so, necessarily. His point is people can be smart, because the thing is if you're dealing with an art, that means you have to be quite intelligent. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be able to understand the principles on which it's based and this and that. Just the tendency is not in, you know, the Shastric-based elements. But it's not that it couldn't be applied. So as a devotee, because of devotional service, that purification, one is able to apply that devotionally, because every soul by nature is servant of Krishna. So we're saying those things that are direct devotional service, anyone, no matter what their position, will be able to do as they devotionally advance. I'm saying, well, we're talking about those things that are indirect, right? That element, that you're going to be nicely situated according to your own natural condition, nature. You know what I'm saying? He can be a plumber, he wouldn't be able to be a full-time pujari or, you know, a BBT editor. You know what I'm saying? But it doesn't mean that he won't give nice classes. Because that's dependent upon his devotional realization, which is separate from mundane, you know, intellectual ability. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to fully understand.
Because we have an idea that of the plumber is just, you know, a gross, rough guy. You know, he's got a tattoo, you know, sits down at the pub, you know. You know, and all that kind of jazz.
One of the dishwashers at Baxter Vedanta Manor gets amazing Bhagavatam classes.
Yeah. Like that, because he's always cleaning. And so he's probably one of the few people in the temple who actually maintains the standard of Krishna conscious cleanliness. And so because of that, he's advancing, so his heart is becoming purified, and because of that, there's realization. And if he's willing to share that, you know, and say, you know, doesn't feel shy, then he'll give a very nice class. Like that. And New Vrindavan, one of the, how do you say, you know, very prominent persons there, he used to drive tractor all day. Yeah, he dressed Radharani. And that, and all he'd ever talk about is Chaitanya Charitamrita. He wouldn't have a discussion, it'd always end up in Chaitanya Charitamrita, right?
Yeah. But I don't see why this
The point is he's gone through, he's a sannyasi. Is sannyas varna? It's ashram. You understand? But now if he goes out and got a job outside, what would he do? He'd drive a tractor. You understand?
But he wouldn't be capable of giving some amazing...
What's amazing? What is amazing?
It's Krishna.
Yes. So the point is let's say you have a quote. Let's say a quote. Your quotation, right? You quote something, a quotation. They're very short and simple. And they've come from practical realization of dealing with things. Very few has come from intellectual analysis. So the point is by working with something for some time, you get realization. So what's the problem? If you're able to speak according to what you understand and realize, it's not a problem. So, and the example has been here, is we're talking about mechanical shudras. What about an artist shudra? They're known as intellectuals. You know what I'm saying? When you say, in the society, when you talk about the intellectuals, of course you have your academics and scientists, but that's not generally what you think about socially. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're having a big party. It's not the, you know, how you say,
the engineer.
Yeah, the engineer, the quantum physicist is the life of the party, right? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So who are those intellectuals? You know, he's the big, interior designer, you know, or he's a, you know, famous photographer, or he's a famous actor, or a musician. Right? So they're dealing in the fine arts. So that means you're dealing with the finer aspects of the mind. So if they apply that across, then it can be very intellectual. You understand? So much of society's intellectuals many times are shudras. Right? So does that make sense? You know. At the same time as it may also be Brahmins who nothing else to do end up as artists. You know, like that. Yes.
It seems like, at least in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, we see that Brahmana, basically the qualities are listed, Kshatriya's qualities and little of occupation, and Shudras and, you know, Vaishyas, they basically occupation.
Yes.
There's a,
so it's occupationally based, not quality based or philosophically based.
Pretty much quality based.
Yeah, so that's why then we see in a bourgeois culture, which means Vaishya-based, it's very hard to understand the Varnashram system, which is quality-based. You know, because what's important is the power and the money, not the qualities. You know, that's the difficulty.
Okay. So in our society, we're so growing, so we need Varnashram to make everything functional, but how are we going to, what is the system to identify each individual of our society?
It means individuals and identify themselves, or if you need help. But as I said, are you married or not? Right? Okay, not. Okay, so then that means you're not a grihastha. So that means it's brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas. Okay? Were you married? Okay, so then that means now we're dealing with, you know, vanaprastha sannyas. You know, have you gone through the ritual of sannyas? No. Okay, so that's vanaprastha. Okay. That was how many seconds? Okay. Now, as an occupation, if you were doing something, how are you going to engage yourself? You know what I'm saying? Is it going to be an intellectual field, administrative field, economic field, or an arts? You know? If you were going to make money right now, we said you have to go out and make money, what would you do? You know, so that's done. So that's what we said. It's either intellectual, it's administrative, it's economic, or you assist these three. So if you're leading that, then you're one of those three. If you're assisting that, then a shooter. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a 1 minute exercise to figure out where you are. Huh? It's a matter, but point is it's not difficult. When do people start eating lunch?
When they're hungry.
When they're hungry. They're not hungry, it's not going to happen. So the point is that it's an easy thing, but the point is if you do that, that means then there is authority. God is authority. He has his laws. We have to fit into that. Right? Not popular. Didn't work for Socrates. Right? What people want is, I do whatever I want to do, and nobody tells me what I should do. So that's the mode of ignorance. So that's where most people are happy to be situated.
Well, happy.
Hmm?
Well, happy. They say they are.
Of course, but that's the part of ignorance. It's illusion. You think you're happy.
So what about, you know, in our society, you know, he's a brahmana, but his occupation is a shudra.
What to do? Because it means he could do other things, but, you know, no one's going to support the deity worship. No one cares about samskars. No one, you know, thinks that home programs are really important and all that. And even if he came for a home program, why should we give him money? He's a devotee. He should do it for free. So what are the Brahmins supposed to do?
Fix the sink.
Fix the sink, yeah. At least it's to do with cleanliness, right? You know, some stretch is there.
So he should still consider
a certain realm. The point is he has brahminical nature, but it doesn't mean he's rightly situated. It means you have, in Manu he defines the natural position, and then what happens if you can't be in your natural position. Like that. So that's all defined. So you can have non-ideal, but if the ideal point of Manu is if it's not ideal, and therefore you have a job as a plumber, fine. But if a job came up that you could be brahminical, you should take it. If you don't take it, then you will be reclassified as a shudra. And that's the king's business. It's the king's business to see that everybody is doing their duty. Right? In other words, if a brahmin has taken up business and he's doing that because there's nothing else, but the opportunity is there to actually perform brahminical duties, but he doesn't want to do it. He wants to continue business. He'll be reclassified as a Vaishya. He won't be a Brahmin anymore. That's the Kshatriya's business. Right? But the Kshatriyas do that under the advice of their advisors. In a sense, so. Thinking we're over time.
Possible conclusion is not protection.
Possible conclusion, what?
If not protection, not philosophy.
Not protection, not philosophy. What does that mean?
No protection, no philosophy.
No protection, no philosophy. So it's like a political slogan or something? No protection, no philosophy. If we don't get protected, we don't buy the philosophy.
The status quo.
We could say no philosophy, no protection. That you could probably get by with.
Like a philosophy.
Yeah, when you don't understand the philosophy, then you won't understand your duty. Because duties are, because the Vedic culture is based on elevating oneself to the Brahman platform. That requires knowledge. The whole Gita, Krishna is talking about knowledge. So if you don't have knowledge, you won't be able to get to that platform. So without the philosophy, that's what Prabhupada said, philosophy without culture is mental speculation. You understand? So that's basically, like, in the discussions here, most of the time is the ideas that are coming up are not on application of the Vedic system. It's couldn't we do this or couldn't we do that, which is mental speculation on theories. You understand? So that's because the culture's not in place. You know what I said? Does that make sense? So that's the difficult. The two have to be there. If it's just culture without philosophy, then it's sentiment. Right? So those who say we just have to establish varnashram dharma and all that and all this philosophy is not so important, that's just sentiment. Because what they mean is if everybody grows cabbages, that's varnashram. No, that's called farming. Varnashram includes farming, but farming doesn't include varnashram. Right? And as we said, when you only focus on one work and that's the all in all, that's the mode of ignorance. So that's why most people can't establish varnashram who are supported because of this element of the mode of ignorance is they think one work is all there is. You know what I'm saying? See, if you want to establish varnashram, you establish education. You establish a farm, that means you can organize those who are already there into something if you know what you're doing. But you actually generate varnashram from education. And because education, you know, is not a focus, therefore there'll be no varnashram. Because Brahmins create other Brahmins. Brahmins create Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas don't create themselves. Kshatriyas create the environment in which Vaishyas and Shudras can flourish. And if the environment is good, they'll tend to be good. If the environment's bad, they'll tend to be bad. So if you want varnashram, you have to create Brahmins. Because they'll create Kshatriyas, and the Kshatriyas will organize the rest. You don't have to worry about it. So the problem is the Brahmins aren't acting as Brahmins, therefore there's no Kshatriyas, therefore there's no varnashram.
Do Vaishyas create Vaishyas?
In the, how you say, as far as doing business, yes. You know, but as far as having the character to do that, then generally that requires the Brahmins. You know what I'm saying? If you want a high-grade Vaishya with good character, that has to be created by the Brahmins. The Vaishya will train you in business. No, then the point is you're dealing on character. That means the Vaishya is honest or he's religious. Is that qualities that are generated from business? No, they're generated from the Brahmins. Does that make sense? Like that. If the Brahmin knows, then he can teach somos, he can teach the field, but he won't teach the business. You know, a Vaishya needs to know, like, you know, jewels and ornaments, cloth, you know, spices, condiments, grains. He has to know transportation. He has to know languages. He has to know, you know, how the money works. All these different things. Does that make sense? Then you're good at it. But most Vaishyas don't even teach you that either. Because the point is that the Vaishya makes money. What's he going to do with it? He's going to buy stuff. So if he doesn't know what good jewels are, how does he know he's not getting cheated? If he doesn't know cloth, how does he know he actually did get a crepe silk sari?
But you learn from other Vaishyas what is good cloth.
Are they necessarily going to teach you? Why would a Vaishya teach another Vaishya? If you work for them, yeah, but how much are you going to teach them?
Not as much as
you would your own son. Or someone who's proven themselves over time that you have trust in. So it's not a very efficient way.
Well, there's a new system that's developed in the West, like multi-level marketing. So.
Yeah, but the point is Vaishya's teaching Vaishyas, but the point is the economic system is run by Brahmins. You know what I'm saying? Why the stock market does what it does and how and that it can, that wasn't created by Vaishyas. You know what I'm saying? The guys who run the, you know, how you call it? The Reserve Bank. Yeah, they're not Vaishyas. Yeah. They're Brahmins who know how economics works. Because they know that you push over here and something happens here. Vaishyas know, I buy this, I find who I'm selling it to, they like it, they buy it, I make money.
Yeah, they know the science.
You understand? So therefore it's there, so it's a combination, you get these combinations. You understand? So it still comes back to, ultimately it's run like that. Because the Vedic system means, you know, you're not, it means the local panwala may be included, but we're talking here, if we're talking kings, we're talking what level of economics?
Bankers.
Right? We just take it that, you know, okay, there's a Brahmin here, and there's this and that. Then there's these big, you know, money guys. So these big money guys, when they were kids, were in the Gurukul, in the Vedic system. So they learn the character. Otherwise, how is he going to be successful in his family life if he has no character? If he doesn't have sense control, he won't be able to do business, right? Isn't that? That's the fifth principle of business, right?
Right.
It's sense control. Does he learn that from any businessman? When you did your MBA, did they teach you sense control? No. That's the point. You learn that from a teacher. You learn that from a character. Your father, who may have it, may tell you, you have to do this. Right? You know, so you may have a line like that, that at some point in the family they got that. So the guys are filthy rich, they're Rockefellers, but you go back, you know, something, they're probably very religious. And if you go back sometime, it was very much involved with priests. Yes?
Yeah, they're still established like that because of their affiliation with secret brotherhoods.
That's there, but the point is the principle is without character development, the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas won't be able to do their basic jobs.
That's the foundation of their philosophy, is character development.
Yes, so but the point is what is character development?
Certain qualities.
Yes, and where do those qualities come from? And where do the Brahmins get it?
The Shastra.
And where does the Shastra get it? Okay, so the point is the qualities come from Krishna. The qualities are Krishna. So unless you can connect them to Krishna, then it's basically useless.
They get it from like the Brahman.
They don't get it from Brahman because they don't know Brahman exists. They get it because they know that it's a skill that works. The only reason that they're worried about controlling their senses is because it makes their business better. If it didn't make their business better, they couldn't care less about sense control. But someone in the Vedic culture cares about sense control whether their business goes nicely or not. That's the difference.
And they have no concept of moksha.
There's no concept of moksha, there's no concept of dharma. You're only talking artha. You're talking niti here. It works, that's all. They understand that there are inherent natures in something. You address somebody's ego or something and somebody's need for prestige or being recognized or sense gratification, and you use that to your advantage in advertising, they buy your product. So they understand that. You know what I'm saying? If you have an adult and a child in an advertisement, everybody likes it. Why? There's relationship, there's protection. So you think in this, then relationships will be enhanced and protection will be there. You're secure. You're secure and there's going to be nice interaction. Because they're not, they're standing there. They're interacting, they're smiling. So,
it's the psychology.
So yeah, but that psychology comes from the inherent nature of the human being. And that human being is supposed to be engaged in the Lord's service. So for them, the nature is not because they have a nature, therefore we should do this. No, we want to do this, therefore we take advantage of the nature. You understand? So it still goes back to niti. So they're very intelligent, they're very like this, and most of the people that work out their theories are Brahmins. Though, you're very high-grade Vaishyas, having been cultivated in this way, then they can work out many details themselves. Because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take what you've learned from the teacher and apply it in your life. Right? 25% of what you use in your life is from the teacher. right? 25% from your studies, 25% from others' experience, and 25% from your own. That's the problem. That's where the conversation started. It's from the teacher. You understand here? This is what you're supposed to see. This is what you're supposed to convey. You're supposed to be able to see that. If you can see this in yourself, you'll be able to see it in others. You're supposed to see, because what we're talking about exactly here, the modes and how they function, is how the things go on, the questions, the conversations, how they go, the different things. You understand? Yeah. So, I just reminded, devotee came out for, initiation. Probably, the four regular principles, and then he remembered three of them, couldn't remember the fourth. Then after some time, then he mentioned the fourth, and then Prabhupada said, don't do that. Because that one was the problem. Right? Is that okay? In other words, see, they're very intelligent. We can give them that credit, and if we put them in that higher level, then how much higher are, the saintly kings and Brahmins? If that is just the level of economics, which is on the level of pranamoy, what about those situated in manamoy, vijnanamoy, and then there's the devotees and anandamoy? So just that they're very well situated in the second level of consciousness, that's all. But we're talking here fifth level, and how to engage the other four in that fifth level. Because the fifth means being Krishna conscious. You're Krishna conscious by engaging your nature. Everyone has a nature. So we have a constitutional nature, but we have a conditional nature. We're working with our conditional. It's the same principle. It doesn't matter. I have a gold goblet and I have a, cheapo plastic glass. Is there any difference in the function? So that's the point, is the condition, constitutional nature and the conditioned nature have the same purpose. They don't function differently. It's just your consciousness, whether you connect it to Krishna or you don't. Does that make sense? That's the only difference. So it's not a matter of, oh, this and that, so things are so developed. Fine, but where are they from? It's still God's intelligence, God's principles. They can't do anything outside of the laws. All it is they become aware, they've educated themselves by perception as to the laws. But it would be so much easier if they started from authority and then applied that authority to perception. But people think the two are completely separate. Gita is there and that's great for my spiritual stuff, but in practical stuff, then I just use my senses. But Krishna here is not said anything that can't be applied into your practical life. Nothing. And he gives it from so many angles so you can see the various layers and various approaches. Does that make sense? So we shouldn't be enamored by their expertise. Because their expertise is simply in a skill of manipulating material energy. But how that works, why it works, that they wouldn't have any clue. Nothing. Not one of them.
Why do you think it's so widespread that people have a misconception of this, like, economics and connecting with Krishna? I mean, I even speak with Indians and they say, oh yeah, I do that at the end of my life. I read Bhagavad Gita at the end of my life. I'm here to make money.
But that's why Krishna consciousness is necessary. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, there's no shortage of anything except Krishna consciousness. There's plenty of everything. There's people that are expert in anything you want to know. But the difficulty comes down is Krishna consciousness. Is that okay?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivarinda ki, Janyata Gaura Premanandi.